John chapter 6, verse number 66. The Bible says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Don't have to turn there. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Paul writing to Timothy says, Demas, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved the present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. And here again, we read in John chapter 6, that at that time, from that time, not the 12, but many of his disciples went back and walked no more with God. Would you bow your heads one more time tonight? Ask the Lord to help us in the remainder of this service. Amen. It doesn't take being a scholar, a Bible scholar, to know, and what I'm fitting to say is no revelation, but it does not take a great Bible scholar. All it takes is a Bible reader with just a little of understanding to know we are living in the end times. There are many signs that point to the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. And this is a time for the church not to be discouraged, but for the church to be encouraged. For we not only, Paul said, if we had hope in this world only, we're of all men most miserable. But our hope is far beyond this world. We have laid up our treasures in a far greater place than this earth. But one of the signs that in my mind and in my heart and reading the Bible that points towards the coming of Christ, it seems like is the chill that has entered into the house of God. The Bible said that many, in those last days, the love of many would wax cold. Amen. Talked about the church of Laodicea and how that they had gone and began to grow lukewarm in their experience. And I don't know about you, but there has been a many of services that I have walked into and have felt that spiritual chill. Amen. As it began to feel the room and the hearts of many. I've watched men as they came down to the altar and they've cried and they prayed and they've asked God to help them. I mean, had such a zeal for the Lord, but all of a sudden a coldness began to set in that seemed like zapped away their strength and their desire to serve God. Can I tell you, you're not too young to grow cold. Never get so old in life and get so close to the mark that you cannot grow cold in the Lord. Amen. The Bible instructs us in the Old Testament, instruct the priest of that day that fire was to be ever burning upon the altar. And tonight that fire in our hearts is to be burning continually because the Lord knows as soon as that fire dims and begins to dwindle, we learn we are in danger of growing cold. Oh, Lord, if anything, don't let me grow cold. I said, Lord, if anything, do not let me grow cold in the Lord, but let me keep that fire ever burning. And let me realize that one of the greatest responsibilities that I have tonight with my eternal soul is to keep the fire of God. I say to keep the fire of God stirred and moving in our hearts.
Amen. Here we read tonight, and the Bible said that many of the disciples at that point turned and walked away. Amen. I can almost see, as I prayed about this passage of Scripture, I can almost see their disgust as they became disgusted with the ministry of Christ. Amen. Do you know not everybody's in it to make it to heaven? Some are in it to gratify self and to get what they want out of the house of God. Amen. To fulfill emotions and the lust of the flesh. And they have no desire to serve God. Amen. Their idea was that Christ would come. He would dethrone the present government and he would begin to set up his men. They would be governors and princes. They would have positions and they would have prestige in the land. But what they found out following this Galilean, what they found out following this carpenter from Nazareth, was not that he was going to take down the government, but he was going to break the hearts of men. He was not out to overthrow Caesar, but he was out to overthrow the flesh. His battle was not with the monarchy or whatever you might want to call it, but his battle was with sin. Amen. And when man didn't get what he wanted, when man's idea didn't work out, they were ready to abandon ship. Amen. I've had a lot of folks before me. I've had a lot of folks jump on the bandwagon, haven't you? When you were doing things their way. Amen. When everybody was doing exactly what they wanted to do. As long as you had church and sung the songs they wanted to sing. As long as the committee did exactly what they wanted them to do. I mean, they were amen and hallelujah. But let's get our own ideas and let God begin to direct the bark. Let God begin to direct the course. And then they want to jump board. Amen. Then they want to get off. And then they don't want any part of it. I'm telling you, our ideas does not matter if it does not line up with the will of God tonight. I want my mind, I want my heart to be the heart and mind of God. Amen. You've seen it, and so have I. When that new begins to wear off. Amen. After they prayed, and after they've been in church for a while, and you tell them, say, listen, sis, it's about time you start moving up. It's about time, amen, you begin to live what you say you have. It's about time you begin to pray things through and begin to lay some things off. That's where a lot of folks differ, and that's where a lot of folks want to get out instead of staying in. Amen. Amen. My idea is to go to church and just sing, have a good time, get with the music. Amen. Do whatever. But I really don't care too much for good old-fashioned holiness preaching. I really don't care too much for that holy living. That's your idea of religion. That's your idea of having church. But God's idea of having church is follow peace with all men and with without holiness, amen, no man. I say, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I forget who it was. This week we was in the back room talking, and they said there was a man who went into an area, wanted to preach a tent meeting in that area, and said he went to the owner of the land. He said, I'd like to preach a tent meeting right here. He had been told he don't like holiness. Don't want no part of it. Don't want no holiness men around. He said, sir, I'd like to erect my tent right here. And I want to preach a meeting, a revival, right in this spot. And man looked at him and said, I will let you erect your tent on the conditions that no night, not one night, you preach holiness. Amen. The man said, all right, I'll do exactly what you've asked me to do. Amen. That first night he got behind the pulpit and he preached hell so hot you could feel the flames. I mean, Cain preached hell, an eternity lost without God. The next night he got behind the pulpit and he preached hell. I mean hard. He preached hell real. Third night, same thing. Finally, that old man had enough. And he said, that's enough preaching on hell. Amen. And the preacher looked at him. He said, you can't say I couldn't preach on holiness. And there's only two things to preach. And that's holiness or hell. Amen. I didn't write it. And amen, not to hurt your feelings. You didn't come up with a saying either. It was God in his holy writ that looked down through time and said to the church, it's going to be holiness or it's going to be hell. You can't live ungodly and go to heaven. You can't live worldly and make it there. But it's going to take a dedicated, consecrated, sanctified life. Amen. Amen. Well, Brother Jim, your idea of sanctification and my idea of sanctification just ain't the same. I tell you what, if you pray a little more, it would be. I said, if you pray a little more and get that flesh under subjection, amen, go to God in prayer, amen, and pray through, I believe you'd want a good dose of sanctification. And things didn't go their way, and their ideas wasn't panning out, they begin to get indignation against him. Amen. They begin to despise this man. Well, if he ain't going to do what we're going to do, we sure ain't going to back him. If he ain't going to preach what we want to hear, if they ain't going to play it like we want to play, if they ain't going to say what we want to say, then surely we're not going to be a part of it. And they became angry. And one of the saddest five verses in the Bible is found right here. And the title of my message tonight is John 666. You know what? 666 is the mark of the beast. And here these men, they might not have put a seal upon their forehead. They might not even have put it upon their hand. But they walked away from the greatest preacher of all time and said, I want no part of this salvation. I want no part of this ministry. It's a whole lot easier to carry a bull and have him slaughtered. It's a whole lot easier, amen, easier to carry a lamb and have him put upon the altar by that high priest than to carry their hearts, amen, and say, Lord, I offer you all that I am. Here I am. Take me and use me, amen, for the glory and edification of your kingdom. Hey, come on now. I wish some of us would understand that good holiness living ain't out to hurt you. It's meant to help you. Amen. I read somewhere, Brother Vince Wilson said one time, holiness preaching was as hard as walking a barbed wire fence barefooted, carrying a sack of polecats on your back. Amen. It's been like that sometimes. Oh, but I'm telling you, it'll help you. I said, it will help you when applied to your life. Amen. They begin to become disgusted. And you know what happens when most folks get mad? They leave. Amen. Not only were they disgusted, but they became deserters. They walked right out of the ministry. They walked right out of what Christ was doing and decided for themselves they go about their own way and do it in their own fashion. I hope you ain't got that kind of mindset tonight. I hope you ain't made up your mind. I don't need the church. I don't need youth camp. I don't need this kind of preaching. I'm just going to go ahead and live like I want to live and do what I want to do. And I believe I'll be all right in the end anyhow. Amen. You know what it is? I tell you what it is. Amen. The love, that love that they claim to have for God, that love that they claim to have for the church, is not as sincere and pure as they claim it is. Amen. You want to know how clear, how pure their love is? I said, you want to know how pure and how sincere their love is? Let hard times come. Amen. Let times come. I love to shout, and there's nothing wrong with it. You can shout every service if you want to, and that would be just fine with me. But let me tell you something. When the shout ain't there, and you got to get on your knees and pray past nothing, and you don't feel God like you want to, amen, that's when you know if you love him or not. God, I might not be on the mountaintop, but I still love you. God, I might not be doing the best in the world. I might be in the valley, but I still love you tonight. I might not feel you as close, but I love you enough to hold on. I might not feel you as nigh as I once did, but I love you enough to keep on walking with you.
Come on. You know just as good as I do. I said, you know just as good as I do. There's been times when you've gone to God in prayer and did not feel a thing. Amen. I mean, not just days, but sometimes weeks. There's been times when it seemed like all heaven was shut up and you couldn't get a prayer through. What do you do? Do you stop praying and say it's over? Do you stop praying and say, I'm going to hang it up? Amen. Say, God, I might not feel you in my hands right now. I might not feel you in my feet right now. But I know you save me. I know you'll never leave me nor forsake me. So I'm just going to hold on till I do feel you again. I'm going to hold on till you do move again in my heart and life.
Oh God. Oh God. You serve him when you feel it. You serve him when you don't. Whew. Hallelujah. Does it mean you're less spiritual? No. Amen. Does it mean, amen, that God don't love you? No. Amen. Sometimes God just backs off and says, listen, there's got to be some refining fire. There's got to be some times a trial. That's why Peter wrote and said, "Verily, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering."
During that time, amen, of emotion, when there is no feeling, during that time when your love is tested, there is a lure. Hey, come on. Well, they feel him all the time down the road. Amen. Oh, they're always. They're always a dancing. There's a difference between feeling a beat and feeling God. I also think some of you heard that. There's a difference between feeling a drum beat and feeling the Spirit of God. Amen. I hope tonight that I'm at a camp on ground with a bunch of young folks that can shout when the bass is moving and when the bass is silent. Amen. I hope you can shout tonight whether they're singing or not. I like it when they sing. I like it when they play. But when there ain't no music, I still gotta dance. When there ain't no song, I still gotta shout. I'm telling you, we can have it.
Amen. There is a lure. Don't you know the devil has been talking to these young folks? Come on now. You don't have to dress like that. You don't have to be a part of that crowd. We're all going to heaven anyway. That's a lie. I said that is a lie.
Let me throw this in here for you. I don't want to sound too hard, but I do want to sound hard. Amen. I'm sick and tired of hearing we're not going down that worldly church. Hear me now. Living like a bunch of devils. Being taught doctrines of devils. Well, I'm just glad they're going to church somewhere. I'd rather them stay at home. I'd rather them stay at home than go down and be indoctrinated. Amen. The Bible said they would believe a lie and be damned. Oh, we better pray tonight, church. I said there's a lure of the world. I said there's a lure of the world among us. I said there's a lure of the world among us. Amen. That seed was sown. It began to bring forth. It began to sprout and grow. But what happened? The cares of life. Amen. The cares of the world. That lure began to choke it out. And it died. We better be careful tonight of what is courting. I say we better be careful tonight of what is courting us. Solomon said, I looked out of my window casement. I saw a young man, void of understanding. That means he didn't have no understanding. He followed that woman that was painted up. He followed that woman, a man that had in passing speech. He was thinking about a good time. Solomon said, it's the way of destruction. Come on now. It'll be all. It really ain't that far. It really ain't that much. You can let down your standard. You can drop your convictions and still make it. Oh, no, you can't. Oh, I said, no, you can't. Oh, no, you can't. Hey, man. I used to come on these campgrounds when I first got saved. And I just come because some asked me. I didn't want no more of a wholeness religion and the man in the moon. But it was men like you. It was men like some of you sitting out there that got flat-footed behind this pulpit and said it was wholeness or hell to not listen to the lure of the world. I hope you ain't stopped saying that. I hope you ain't let down that guard. I hope you ain't let the world lure you away. If you have, you're just in bad shape. You're just as doomed as somebody that's never repented and called on God. Hey man, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know what happens when that lure. Other night we was out bass fishing. Don't fall out with me. Amen. We was throwing some lures. My little boy had a plastic worm. It was about 30 minutes before dark. We was fishing a pond. Those old flies and bugs began to lay on that water. And them old big mouth bass. Man, they was taking them. We was catching them. The ones we could hook and the ones we couldn't hook, we blamed on the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's all right, ain't it? You done it there. All of a sudden, my little boy, Seth, is pretty good, I have to admit. He's pretty good with a rod and a reel. And he was putting it where he wanted it. He was reeling some in, man. He was having a time. And about that time, he threw out into some patches of weeds. And when he did, there's a limb sticking out. And that old line went right over that limb. And his worm was hanging about that far from the water. Amen. Grandpa looked up at him and said, "Huh, can't catch a fish in the air." About that time, whoosh. I said, you better rethink that. Amen.
I mean, that bass come up and grabbed that thing and swam with it. It was just too much for him. I could just see him down there going, man, I know that's got to be a setup. I know that ain't right. That worm don't even look real, but just something about it. I got to have it. And that's the same attitude some of you've got. I know that dress is way too tight and short. I know that split ought not be there. I know those pants ain't been way too baggy. And that hairstyle is a way too feminine. Amen. But there's something about it. Amen. I know the glasses I'm wearing. Amen. Make me look like a come on now, like a pissy pot. But there's something about it. We want to be metro males. I don't. I want to be a man. Do you hear me tonight? And that's what you need to be. And get away from the lure of the world. We used to preach against feminine spirits. And now we just paraphrase it and call them mama boys. Amen. And say it's all right for them to preach. They ain't really feminine. They just got a little press to them. Come on now. Do you really believe that? Or have you been lured away? Back, and Sister Marcia then probably could testify to it tonight if I got them up here. Sister Marcia, Sister Gail, and probably some more that was in these parts. Man, come preaching holiness down their parts. That was long before I come along, before I ever got saved. I was looking at some pictures of them, and in those pictures, they had on those short skirts. Man, when they got saved, they come out of that stuff. And then we got a bunch of folks running back to it. Mama, how in the world can God call you from it and call your girl to it? It don't make no sense. I said it don't make no sense tonight. There's a lure. Amen. I said there's a lure and there's a lust. Amen. That travels and fulfills the lust of the flesh. Man, I don't remember whether Billy Joe Watson, if you remember or not, we were sitting out here one day talking to somebody. I won't say who it was. And we were talking about a certain situation. And Brother Billy Joe said, 2 + 2 = 4 all day. What you telling me, boy, don't add up. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, amen, if God called you out of it and you're letting your children do it, it just don't add up. Amen. I want to be my boy's best friend. I want my princess. Amen. I told my little girl when she was growing up, I said, you know what kingdom you rule? This is your kingdom right here, baby. You're my princess. But I want to be more than daddy. I mean, more than their best friend. When it comes down to it, I want to be daddy and show them how to live right and say, listen, children, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. 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 But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I want to say something here tonight. Listen to me out. And don't fall out with me. What I'm going to say, there's a lustful spirit here. I said there's a lustful spirit in this congregation. And it's not that kind of spirit. A woman and a man. Or a man for a woman. But it's lust for worldly things. I just can't get enough. I just can't gratify self. Amen. I just can't indulge enough. I just can't get enough of the world around me and on me and in me. I'm telling you, amen, Paul wrote, wrote and said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, having lusted after it, having desired it. He said, Paul, I no doubt you've been good to me. Amen. We've had some good times. I saw people healed. I saw the Holy Ghost fall. But Thessalonica has a greater call. Thessalonica has more to offer. What about when he closed his eyes in death? Thessalonica was no good then. You better pray. I said you better pray before it's too late. Brother Brad, no. You'll influence somebody else, brother. You'll influence somebody. Don't go.
Grace of God. Listen, son, I knew
you're
No. You haven't gone too far, done too much for the reach of the Redeemer not to go where you are.
But I got stuff I want to hold on to.
Oh, but what is it worth? What is it worth? God's blessed you. He's given you a great heritage. Your grandmother, your mama, your daddy, and now your wife. Look what God's done for your wife. Look how God brought your wife out of a nominal church into the holiness movement. When she first came in, she didn't know anything about holiness. But look what God's done for her. Look how he's blessed your family. Hold the baby up. Hold the baby up. Look at the baby. Who's gonna pray for that baby? Who's going to pray for that baby? Who's going to pray for that baby when she's burning up a fever? You got to be the man. You got to be the man. Stay with me. Don't you can do it. By God's grace and the help of good men that love you. You cannot judge. You cannot judge God. You cannot judge God by the failures of well-meaning people. And as your pastor, I'll help you bear the load if you'll stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Would you stay? You stay. Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. Would you just pray one more time about it?
One more time.
Pray about it. If you'll meet God right here, he'll meet you. One more time. One more time. If I can just meet God one more time. The pull is so great. But I'll go to that altar, God, if you'll meet me one more time right there. I've been pulled and influenced. But I'll go down and pray if you'll meet me one more time. And God will meet you right here. One more time. One more time. Oh, God. Amen. You hear me tonight? You hear me tonight? They made up their mind and they deserted God. But let me tell you what happens after desertion. There's destruction. I said there is destruction. I'm preaching to somebody here tonight that's standing in the doorway. I'm preaching to somebody tonight that's got one foot in and one foot out. And I'm trying to beg. I'll plead. I'll crawl. My God, don't leave. Don't go. Why don't you come back in? Hey, pray. Pray, saints. Pray. There's danger. I said there's danger. There's some of you young folks that sit here right now. The world has you so mixed up. You're standing in a place where you know it's wrong.
But every step you take, it seems more right. Amen. You're doing things tonight you would not have done 2 months ago. Amen. You're listening to music on the way to this campground you would not have listened to just a little while back. Amen. You know why some of them are like that? I know why. Amen. Because they make up their own minds and their own choices. But a lot of young folks are confused and double-minded because, Daddy, you never made up your mind. You never got it settled. You never said it's going to be holiness. It's going to be right. And we're going to live it in the house. We're going to live it on the job. And we're going to live it everywhere we go. Somebody pray. Ask God to help us tonight. His altar's open. Which way are you going to step? What decision are you going to make? I said this altar's open. You know what you need to do? Won't you come see us? Won't you make up your mind tonight? I'm not going that way. I'm not going with the world. I'm not going with that crowd. Why not tonight, young man? You say, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to shun the very appearance of evil. I'm going to make up my mind. I'm going to sell out. I'm going to sell out. Why don't you sell out tonight, young man? Why don't you give it all and put it in the hands of God?